Chapter 23, Ender's Game.
General, you are the strategos. You have the authority to do this, and you have the obligation.
I don't need disgraced former battle school commandants to tell me my obligations.
If you do not arrest the Polemarch and his conspirators...
Colonel Graf, if I do strike first, then I will bear the blame for the war that ensues.
Yes, you would, sir. Now tell me, which would be the better outcome? Everybody blames you, but we win the war. Or nobody blames you because you've been stood up against the wall and shot after the Polemarch's coup results in worldwide Russian hegemony.
I will not fire the first shot!
A military commander not willing to strike preemptively when he has firm intelligence...
The politics of the thing!
If you let them win, it's the end of politics.
The Russians stopped being the bad guys back in the 20th century.
Whoever is doing the bad things, that's the bad guy. You're the sheriff, sir, whether people approve of you or not. Do your job.
With Ender there, Bean immediately stepped back into his place among the toon leaders. No one mentioned it to him. He had been the leading commander, he had trained them well, but Ender had always been the natural commander of this group, and now that he was here, Bean was small again. And rightly so, Bean knew. He had led them well, but Ender made him look like a novice. It wasn't that Ender's strategies were better than Bean's. They weren't, really. Different sometimes, but more often Bean watched Ender do exactly what he would have done. The important difference was in the way he led the others. He had their fierce devotion instead of the ever so slightly resentful obedience Bean got from them, which helped from the start. But he also earned that devotion by noticing not just what was going on in the battle, but what was going on in his commander's minds. He was stern, sometimes even snappish, making it clear that he expected better than their best. And yet he had a way of giving an intonation to innocuous words, showing appreciation, admiration, closeness. They felt known by the one whose honor they needed. Bean simply did not know how to do that. His encouragement was always more obvious, a bit heavy-handed. It meant less to them because it felt more calculated. It was more calculated. Ender was just himself. Authority came from him like breath. They flipped a genetic switch in me and made me an intellectual athlete. I can get the ball into the goal from anywhere on the field. But knowing when to kick... Knowing how to forge a team out of a bunch of players. What switch was it that was flipped in Ender Wiggins' genes? Or is that something deeper than the mechanical genius of the body? Is there a spirit? And is what Ender has a gift from God? We follow him like disciples. We look to him to draw water from the rock. Can I learn to do what he does? Or am I to be like so many of the military riders I've studied, condemned to be second raters in the field, remembered only because of their chronicles and explanations of other commanders' genius? Will I write a book after this, telling all about how Ender did it? Let Ender write that book. Or Graf. I have work to do here, and when it's done, I'll choose my own work and do it as well as I can. If I'm remembered only because I was one of Ender's companions, so be it. Serving with Ender is its own reward. But ah, how it stung to see how happy the others were, and how they paid no attention to him at all, except to tease him like a little brother, like a mascot. How they must have hated it when he was their leader. And the worst thing was, that's how Ender treated him too. Not that any of them were ever allowed to see Ender. But during their long separation, Ender had apparently forgotten how he once relied on Bean. It was Petra that he leaned on most, and Alai, and Dink, and Shen. The ones who had never been in an army with him. Bean and the other toon leaders from Dragon Army were still used, still trusted. But when there was something hard to do, something that required creative flair, Ender never thought of Bean. Didn't matter. Couldn't think about that, because Bean knew that along with his primary assignment as one of the squadron chiefs, he had another, deeper work to do. He had to watch the whole flow of each battle, ready to step in at any moment should Ender falter. Ender seemed not to guess that Bean had that kind of trust from the teachers, but Bean knew it. And if sometimes it made him a little distracted in fulfilling his official assignments, if sometimes Ender grew impatient with him for being a little late, a little inattentive, that was to be expected. For what Ender did not know was that at any moment, if the supervisor signaled him, Bean could take over and continue Ender's plan, watching over all of the squadron leaders, saving the game. At first, that assignment seemed empty. Ender was healthy, alert. But then came the change. It was the day after Ender mentioned to them, casually, that he had a different teacher from theirs. He referred to him as Mazer once too often, and Crazy Tom said he must have gone through hell growing up with that name. When he was growing up, said Ender, the name wasn't famous. Anybody that old is dead, said Shen. Not if he was put on a light-speed ship for a lot of years and then brought back.